Okay, today's daf is daf kuf vav. We're going to start back. Okay, I'll just review from yesterday, the end of yesterday. At the bottom of kuf hamud aleph, Rava asked the question, if you're gazal chametz ravar alav pesach, right, so what do? Remember that it's worth nothing, and you give it back, you say, reshal chalaf anecha, you give back the guy the chametz, it's worth absolutely nothing. And then Rava asked, what if you're nishba alav? Do we say that since it has potential finance, even though it's worth nothing now, but it has potential financial value, right? It's davar hagorem lamamon, because if it gets stolen, right, if you have the item, so you return it as is, the chametz, even though it's worth nothing, but and therefore maybe you wouldn't have to pay, or do we say, no, you are actually kofar amamon because there's potential for mamon here. If the chametz were to have gotten stolen from you or lost, then you'd have to return the value at the time of the gzela. So therefore, according to that, we'd say it's mamon and you'd have to pay the keren and the chomesh. So then they say that what Rava questioned, to Rava it was pshita, right? And then we had said, because Rava said about the shuri ganavta, and he says lo ganavti, and then he says, well, what's it doing there? And he says, shomer chinam ani alav. And because he was a shomer chinam, what happened? Because he says he was a shomer chinam, really he had stolen it. What do we say? Because he patarats mamiknevav aveda, there was potential financial advantage for him, so therefore he's chayav. And that's what we were mentioning yesterday. So then we had this question. If you go three lines from where the lines are wide, Rav Amram asked Rabba, question from this braita, okay? And then he answered, and then right about the mode bi'ikar. And then Rabba had answered, that's a case of halach. There's two different cases. Halach, and as one case, right? So the case in the braita that they brought, what did it say? If you're mode bi'ikar, you agree that it belongs to the guy, right? But you say, but I'm a shomer on it, then there's no shvua. So how could Rabba have said that there is? So we answered it by saying there are two different cases. If, remember the whole thing about the shomer chinam, what we're talking about is potential future advantage to him by claiming he's a shomer chinam, which is that in the event of theft, he won't be responsible. But there's only going to be potential if there's a time for that potential to actually be. So therefore, in the case where we say the shomer chinam adds a financial potential advantage and we're going to consider that a potential financial advantage, that's a case where the animal was the agam. He was far away and he wasn't there. Versus the case where he says, Yama shomer chinam, but here, take your animal back. In other words, you're right, you think I stole this, but really I didn't steal it. I was a shomer chinam on it, but you want your item back, so take it back. Halach. Halacha. Okay, so therefore, Rabba answers it and says, that's not a question on me. But in the context of bringing that braita, we brought all these other cases that were mode bi'ikar, right, where he says, I agree this is mainly your, you know, I agree with most of your ta'ana, I just have a little side thing. In other words, it is yours, but you asked me to watch it. But then there were all these cases that didn't make any sense that you were mode bi'ikar. Like, you sold it to me. You sold it to me means I own it. That's pretty much not mode bi'ikar ta'ana. So now we're going to question those things. So, ata macharta li, okay, the line starts about eight lines from where the lines get wide, maybe nine. Ata macharta li, my mode bi'ikar ika. You're not mode bi'ikar when you say that. So, lo tzricha de amarle, lo natati lecha dame, shakyo torcha vizil. Okay, what happens? He says, you stole my animal. The other guy says, what do you mean? You sold it to me. But I never paid you, but you did sell it to me. Okay, in other words, I took it and I told you I'd pay you down the road. But if you're going to claim that I stole it and you want your animal back, so here, take it right now. Okay, so therefore he's mode bi'ikar because he's saying, I bought it, but he's not agreeing that, he's not denying, it doesn't really belong to him because he hasn't yet paid for it. And he's saying, here, take it back. So that would be mode bi'ikar. Next case, ata natata li, or avicha natata li b'matana. So again, my mode bi'ikar ika. Da amar le, al minat avina lach dinaich nafshe, v'lo avdelach, shakil torcha v'zil. It was a case where the guy gave him it as a gift, but, right, most gifts come with strings attached. So what did he say? Al minat, that I'm going to do something for you, and he didn't do it. So he says, you're right, I didn't do my part of the deal. Here, take it back. To'eba derech u'mitzativ, right? It was wandering and I found it. So now we have a separate question, which is, lema yibay lach la'adureli. In other words, we're going to learn this in Bava Metzia, but there's all sorts of cases where it's an aved, and if it belongs to someone, then you're supposed to return it. So you can't say, oh, well, I took it. So, amar avu ad shmuel, be'omer, Shvua aveda matzati. As he swore, I found an aveda. V'lo hayiti yodea sheish shalcha shachziren alecha. But I didn't know at the time when I found it that it was yours. I thought I wasn't going to find the owner and I wasn't responsible to return it. So that's why. But now that you're here, right? So now I found the owner, take it back. And that's why, again, it's modeh b'ikar, because he agrees it belongs to the other guy. He just didn't know so from the beginning. Okay, Tanya. Now we're going to get into this aveda case a little bit. Amar ben Azai, gimel shvuot hein. There's three different types of shvuot you could say about an aveda case. That you swore, hikir ba v'lo b'motza'ah. I recognize the object, and as this is the object, but I didn't know, and as I found an object, but I didn't know whose it was. B'motza'ah v'lo ba. I knew who the owner was, but I didn't know, right, what would be what the item is? Mihu? Oh, sorry. No, I said the wrong thing. Now we're talking about, this is if somebody swears about testimony. In other words, they say, I saw somebody who found an aveda. Okay? So now the question is, right, he comes forward and he says, so-and-so found something and he didn't return it to the owner. So either he recognized whose it was, but he didn't recognize who the guy who found it was. That's Ikir Ba V'lo B'Motza'ah. Or he recognizes Motza'ah V'lo Ba. He says, I recognize the guy who found it, but I didn't know who it belonged to. Or Lo Ba V'lo B'Motza'ah. Or he says, well, I saw someone, right? I saw an Aveda somewhere, but I didn't know whose property it was, and I didn't know who the Aveda belonged to. So now Gemara questions that case. What do you mean? Lo B'Motza'ah. This was all, right, we're talking about a guy who swore falsely. How could you possibly swear falsely about saying, I didn't know? In other words, the assumption is he's telling the truth. He doesn't know anything. So now he's saying, no, ema ba ubimotza. In other words, he's saying, I swear that I saw, you know, whose it was, and I saw, and I recognized who took it, and I recognized the item. So now they say, lamai hilchata. Rav Ami Amar Rabbi Chanina liftor, uShmuel Amar lichiyuv. So now there's a machloket about these cases, whether you'd be chayiv if you lied about this and said I saw someone stole something. Okay, but really, right? I think one second. I believe the case is. Right. He swore in these three cases, and then he admitted that he had lied about it. So the question is he obligated to return the item to its original owner? So according to Rabbi Ami, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, now there's a machloket a little bit about, is it in all these cases, or is it only in the ba'u b'motza'ah case, when he knows both the owner and the item? Or some people say, no, it could be all of them. That he's patur, in all these cases, he's patur from a korban shvuat ha'edut, and Shmuel says he's chayav. Okay, and now the question is, what's this machloket about? So now they say, ubeplukta dehane tnai, detanya hamashbia erechab patur. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, mechayev. If one aid force, hamashbia erechab patur, if somebody says, generally you need two witnesses for anything, right? We've always learned that. But if there's some disagreement between people about mammon, you have something, then I claim it's mine. And one witness comes forward and says it's mine. What happens in that case? If it's only one witness, it's mechayev shvuah. So if someone came forward and said, I have testimony that it belongs to me. Okay, so now what would happen? So he would be mechayev the other guy to take a shvuah and say, no, I swear this is mine. Okay, that's called mashbia eid echad. Okay, but then what happened? So the aid forced the guy to swear. But then I said, oh, by the way, that aid comes forward and says, by the way, I was lying. Okay. So now, is that a patur, or is that a chayav? So b'may kamiflege, mar savar davar hagorem lemamon kemamon dame. Now in the end, right? This is something, nothing happens as a result of this, right? The money stays in the hands of the owner. But if the person who lied hadn't come forward and lied, what would have happened? By him doing that, okay, let's put it this way. There's one guy who has the item in his hand, okay? There's the other guy who wants the item back. Then there's the aide who comes. So if aide Echad comes, he forces this guy to take a shvua and then not pay. Now, if he didn't come and force the guy to take a shvua, the guy might have paid the item back to the original guy, right? Is that what would happen? It's the opposite. Okay, sorry. This is how it works. The aide comes along. What does he do? He's mechayev a shvua. Now, if he wasn't there, he wouldn't be mechayev a shvua and the item would stay. But what does it mean to be mechayev a shvua? It means that this guy now has to swear that it's his, if he wants to keep it. If he doesn't swear, what happens? He has to pay. So therefore, the guy lied, and potentially, and as we don't know, would the guy have sworn or wouldn't he? So in theory, if he hadn't come forward, the guy for sure would have kept the item. But now that he came forward, and maybe the guy would decide not to swear, in which case he'd pay the other guy the object. So therefore, it's Davar HaGorim LeMamon. Okay?
So you're saying the guy in the middle, the witness guy, swore, so then it gave the guy...
The witness guy came forward and gave testimony.
Right.
And
so
that caused the guy to swear.
He wouldn't have done it because he wouldn't have been the second person.
So maybe I said something wrong. One second.
You don't know whether
right. It's the aide. Right, we don't know. So the whole idea is there's potential. It's all about a potential. Okay, so therefore we're going to say davar ha'gorim l'mamon k'mamon dami umar savar lav k'mamon dami. Okay, and therefore, how is it like this case of the gimel shvuot? So there's a few different interpretations. I'm going to go with the simple one, which is the gimel shvuot is the same thing where there was one guy. Remember, the case was the guy comes forward and says, "I know an aved, right? I know that this was found. I don't know who, right? I didn't know who it was." Or he says something about it, or "I know who found it, and I know whose object he found." So in those cases, one way of seeing the comparison is that there was one witness that was mechayev. Okay, there's a...
I put the last one. The last one causes the shvua as well.
What do you mean the last one?
Lo ba v'lo motza. Lo v'motza.
No, so that's why they said that's not a good case. Lo ba v'lo v'motza. You wouldn't have accomplished anything. Right. So some people say there's a whole debate here about what exactly he's causing in the Shlosha Shvuot, because especially if he says Bava Loba Motzan, what's he causing? So there's two interpretations. Rashi says that he can't really help anything in court, but he can help the owner find his animal. In other words, he could have done something that would have helped the owner had he said this testimony. Or that's Rashi. The Rama says that he knows the guy has it, but he's not sure if he's found the item, or he knows he's found it, but he's not sure who it is. So, again, he's giving information, right? He's giving some sort of information that could help. The Rush is the one who says that Ben Azai is only Mechayev Shvua in the last case, where he said, Ba Ubimotza. But if he doesn't actually have it, he resolves the problem. Rashi and the Rama have to explain, well, what's he accomplishing Bichlal? If he only says, I knew who, but not what, right? Right? And I didn't know who it belonged to, but I knew who found it. It's not a full testimony. So that's why Rashi says it's just that he could have enabled the guy to find his thing. And that's the loss he's causing. That, right? When you lose something, any kind of information will be helpful to you. So there's a few different interpretations about how exactly they go with that. And then when you compare to the Eid Echad Machloket, so the Rama says it's all Eid Echad, and Rashi says that both cases are just goreim lemamon, because in our case it's only that he can potentially help the guy find his animal, and in this case there's a potential goreim lemamon, because if he doesn't swear then there'll be a gain. So it's a little unclear exactly what the comparison is here and what the mechayev is, but there's different interpretations. Okay, Amar Rav Sheshet. Hakofer bepikadon nase alav gazlan v'chayav ba'onsin. This is a very interesting issue. When do you become a gazlan? Right? Normally, if you steal something from somebody's house, so you're a gazlan, and then you're chayav in onus, right? What does it mean you're chayav in onus? If something happens to the item, mishalem kishat agzela, we've seen this many times. What if you're watching someone's item in your house, and then you steal it? You say it's yours, right? So at what point do you become, when you're a shomer, you're not chayav in onsin. But when you steal, you're chayav in onsin. At what point is that turnover that you become chayav in onus? So comes Rosh Hashan and he says, as soon as you say, I don't have your pikadon in my hands, right? Which is basically you're claiming I stole it. You become a gazlan and you're chayav and onsin. V'tana tuna, and here he brings a source to prove it. V'chicheshba lamadu onesh. Right, that's where it talks about if you deny the claim, right? O matzah v'ya v'chicheshba v'nishba al sheker. Okay, that's the... that's the onesh. That's what you did wrong. Now, there's always in the Torah, you want to have an onesh and an azhara. So, azhara minayin, because there it says you have to pay. So, minayin, where's the azhara? Talmud lamar, lo tichachashu. That's this, lo tignovu, don't, right? Don't steal. Velo tichachashu, and don't deny the claim. Velo tishaku ishba mito. So, that's the azhara. So, now, what's the assumption here? Until now, okay, maybe I didn't make this clear, but what's his chidush? His chidush is that by kfira alone, you become a gazlan, and you don't need what? A shvua, right? First, you just deny the claim. Then you have to swear. Remember, you come to court, and you have to swear. This is the psukim we saw in Shmot. What happens? Okay, we're not going to have time today to read all the psukim inside. You can look at them later, but what happens? A guy, you give your pikadon to someone, and then it says, shvuat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem im lo shalach yadov melech re'ehu. Right? They have to swear in court that he didn't do anything, and then, right, then he becomes a gazlan. So what Rosh Hashanah's chidush is, and then it's he's then he becomes chayav, you know, to pay and all that. Rosh Hashanah's chidush is, even once he denies it, before he even takes a shvu, he's already chayav. And his proof is from this brayta, because what does it say in those psukim? Lo tichachashu, don't deny. It just says deny the claim. So my lav la'onesh mamon, lo la'onesh shvua. So first they say, isn't it obvious that they're talking about for the payment and not for shvua? So then they say, lo, lenyan shvua. It's a case where he actually swore and not just kfira. So now they're going to say, how can you prove this? This is all to prove Rav Sheshet, right? But that doesn't make sense to say that it's about a case where he swore. Because Hami Dikatane Seifa, this is now to support Rav Sheshet, right? Because as Rav Sheshet said, I think it's talking about Mamon. The Gemara rejects and says, no, sounds like it's talking about Shvua. So if it's talking about Shvua, there's going to be a problem. Hami Dikatane Seifa V'ishtaba, Michal Dereisha Delo Ishtaba. The second half of that braita brings up a case where you swore, which seems to imply that the first part, you didn't swear, which seems to prove Rav Sheshet. Dekatani seifa. Now, what's the seifa? V'nishba al sheker lamadnu onesh azhara minayin tamud lamar lo tishakru. So now, what do you see here? First, it talks about kofer b'mamon, right? Ki cheshba lamadnu onesh, right? And then it talks about nishba al sheker. So that seems to imply that what? Mide seifa de ishtaba reisha de lo ishtaba. In which case, that would prove Rav Sheshet. But this onesh of v'chi cheshba is even without the shvua, right? Because otherwise, the second half of the braita, which specifically talks about swearing falsely, would seem to imply that the beginning part was without having sworn. So now, what do we say, though? Amre, people explain like this, and again, this would go against Rav Sheshet. Idi v'idi d'ishtaba, and then what's the difference between v'chi cheshba and lo tishakru? So nishbal sheker. Kan shahoda, kan shabau edim. Atu edim. Okay, so now they're going to say the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is one is where he came forward and admitted, and the second one is where he edim came and proved, right? In other words, there's two ways you can get caught for a shvua sheker. And we're going to talk about this a lot today. One is by admitting, coming forward, and the other is edim come. And maybe that's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. They wanted to show that in both cases you're chayav. So they say, Atu Edim Chayav Ba'onsin, Oduye Ode. Oduye Ode, Chayav Bekerem B'chomesh Va'asham. So now they're going to say that just because you, wait one second, this is an explanation of this. Both are be'ishtaba, one is hodeh, one is ba'u edim, and then the halacha is going to be a little different for each one. If edim come, then he's chayav ba'onsin, then he becomes, right, chayav an ones. And if he comes forward, then he's already chayav in addition to the Karen v'chomesh and the asham. Okay? And therefore, you can't say that they're both that one is ishtaba and one is lo ishtaba. You can actually explain it that they're both be'ishtaba, and that would then reject the proof for Rav Sheshet. This isn't a good proof for Rav Sheshet. That's what we're holding now. We tried to bring it as a proof. They say it's not really a good proof.
Do you mean to say that if Adim come, the only thing the person is punished by is Onus? He's not punished also by Karen and Chomesh?
No. Karen and Chomesh. Okay. Let me distinguish. Karen is the item itself. So if Adim come, what does it mean he's Chayav Ba'onus? It means he has to return the item. This is Gezel. Gezel, there's no Kefel, there's no Chomesh. Gezel, you return the item. Yeshiva Tegzel Asher Gazal. And then, and not only would he have to return it, but if the object is no longer, because ones happened to it, he'd still be chayav to pay the amount. That's just Karen. But the whole chidush of the shvuat sheker is that then you're obligated in the chomesh and the korban asham. Okay, that's the difference. You follow? If Adim come that you lie, then you're not. Because what happens, the assumption is, and that's why we have this whole question, is Chomesh Kapara or Lo? Because the Chomesh is an added thing for the Kapara. In the end we said it's Mamom, but it only gets added in the case where you swore and then came forward and admitted. No, he swore falsely, but when you come forward and admit it, you're right, I didn't say that right. It's when you come forward and admit it, you want the Kapara. So then you have the added additional element of the kapara, the korban. Okay? Right. They even say it here, in the note here, that you're only chayav an ones. Why? Because lo magia lecha kapara. This is where we've seen it, where it's not that it's more mekel for you that you don't have to do this. You don't have the zchuyot to get kapara. Where do we see something similar? With ir mikla. There's cases where you can't go to ir mikla. It won't protect you because you're karov la'ones. In other words, I'm sorry, your karov lemezi. You did something that, you know, it wasn't a pure show gig. So you're going to end up, the ir miklat, while it's nice you'd have to go to the ir miklat, but it won't provide its protection for you. That's what we're talking about here. Okay. Mativ Rami Barchama. So now Rami Barchama is going to question Rav Sheshet. Remember what Rav Sheshet said. As soon as you do kfira, right, you're therefore becoming chayv and onsim. So, Madav Rami Barchama, v'shekenegdo chashir al ha-shvua ketzad. I talked about earlier today that when do you take a shvua? General shvuot, when an eid achad is mechayev shvua, he's mechayev shvua for someone to be nishba ve'eino meshalem. It's to keep the money in the hands of where it is. So, therefore, you're nishba ve'eino meshalem. Sometimes there's a case where somebody is chashud al ha-shvua. So let's say you're the guy who's supposed to take a shavua, but you've done something wrong in the past that makes you, your character is soiled. We don't really trust you. If that's the case, what's going to happen? If your character is not good, then we're going to flip the shavua onto the other person, and he's going to be able to say, this item belongs to me, I'm going to swear that it belongs to me, you give it back to me. And that's called shavua nishba v'notel. We're going to see a lot of this further on. Okay, so right now we want to know who are these people who are chashud al ha-shvua? Ketzad. Echad shvuat ha-edut, that's someone who says, he lied about testimony and he really really hadn't seen it. Echad shvuat ha-pikadon, he lied about a pikadon. Vafilu shvuat shav. Okay, or even a shvuat shav, right? He swore about something falsely. Vim ita bikfira. Okay, this is a Mishnah, by the way, in Shvua. Vim ita bikfira hu de ifsale. Im ita bikfira hu de ifsale. So what if kfira was also, right, if you were kofir without taking a Shvua. And then what would we say in that case, like Rav Sheshet? That if once you do that, you're chayav ba'onsim, then what does that basically mean? At the moment of kfira, you become a gazlan. Someone who's a gazlan is chashud al ha-shvua. He can't be believed. Now, if that were the case, if Rav Sheshet was right, it should have listed ha-kofir b'pikadon in this Mishnah, and not just shvuat ha-pikadon. So how do you explain that? So Amre hacha b'mayas kinan dekai ba'agam delav kfirahu. Now we're going to talk about that there's two different types of denials. You can deny the claim when the animal's in front of you, and you can deny the claim when the animal's not with you. Now, what's the difference? If you deny the claim and the animal's in front of you, that's when Rav Sheshet said you immediately become a gazlan. But if you deny the claim when the animal's not anywhere near you, what do we assume? That's lav kfirahu. That's not real kfira. Why? To savar ishtamit nale adazil na umayti nale. What is he assuming? Why did he say that's not true, right? In other words, I didn't steal it. What was his idea? Because he wanted to basically push the guy off till he could bring the animal back. And he wasn't sure exactly where the animal was. So when he said he denied the claim, he was just denying it so the guy would get off his back at that moment, but eventually he would bring it back to him. We've seen this in a Malvik case, where the guy doesn't have the money and he just pushes off the guy, says, Milva Libi Yadchan, he says, Imbia Di Klum. And we said, oh no, he was just pushing him off until he got the money. So, right, so you have to think, is there some ulterior motive? So if the animal's not in front of you, that's the case the Mishnah was referring to, where the animal wasn't in front of him, and a kfir where the animal's not in front of him wouldn't be considered that you become a gazlan immediately, because the assumption is maybe you're just pushing off the claim, and therefore you're not considered a gazlan. And teda da amaravi di bar avin, hakofer b'milve kasher le'edut. If you deny, okay, here's this case, you deny a halva'a, okay? Again, that's what I was giving the example of. We're going to see it right now. You deny that I borrowed money. I deny that I borrowed money from you. We don't assume that you're a liar. We just assume that you were pushing me off your back. Get off my back. I'll pay you the money down the road. But pikadon pasul edut. But when it comes to pikadon, he is pasul edut. Okay? So this would... Right, and they say there, but pikadon, it's when two witnesses come and say, right, that would be a case in a second, because we just said, but pikadon. Right, the case of pikadon is when edim come and deny it, and then he's pasula edut. Okay, pikadon. This would seem to. Oh, sorry. This is a proof for, one second, for a sheshet. Right. This is only if you, right. Ah, I see, right. In a pikadon, he is pasul edut. What case of pikadon are they referring to? The same case of Rosh Sheshet. In other words, what does this prove? This proves that while the Mishnah thinks the kfira is not a gazlan, here's another source that proves that a kofir b'pikadon is a gazlan. And that's because there's two different types of pikadon cases. One case is where the animal's in front of you, and one case is where the animal's not in front of you. So this proves it, because this shows pikadon, you are pasula edut if you're kofir b'pikadon, against the Mishnah that seemed to imply kofir b'pikadon, you're not, only if you actually take a shvua. So the assumption is there must be two different cases of kofir b'pikadon, and in the case where the animal's in front of you, so then we're assuming you're a gazlan immediately. In the case where the animal's not in front of you, and we can assume you have some ulterior motive, just like in the Milvek case, then we're not going to assume you're pasula edut. Okay. Now they're going to say another question on Rav Sheshet. Bahamar ilfa shvua kone. What does ilfa say? A shvua is kone. What does it mean a shvua is kone? That you're chayav ba'onsi. That once you take a shvua, that you swear that it's yours, right? That you didn't steal it and you really did steal it. Then a shvua is kone and you become a gazlan. So obviously, what's the implication here? Shvua hu dekanya aval kfira lo kanya. So again, what can you answer? Hachanami dekaima ba'agam. You could say the same answer we brought before. V'ibayit ema. Or you could say that shvua kone doesn't mean what we think it means. My shvua kone, kidu rafuna, da'am rafuna amarav, manali biyadcha, v'hala omer, ein lecha biyadi. Okay, so the guy comes, rafuna brings this halach in the name of Rav, and this we're going to deal with for the rest of Shir today. Rav comes and says like this, if you say manali biyadcha, I have something of mine in your hands, and you say, I've got nothing, v'nishba, and then you swear, v'achar kach bau edim, and then edim come and say, after I swore, edim come forward and say, you're lying, right? We know that this belongs to the other guy. Patur, this is a crazy halacha. Let's say it was me who swore. Once I swear, edim cannot be mechayev me to pay. And why? Because it comes from the pasuk that says, "Shenemar v'lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalem." Okay, this is that pasuk. Shvuat Hashem tia ben shnehem im lo shalach yado melech reihu. Right? Let's go through the case again. You give me something to watch, I watch it. Right? Then you come and say that's mine, and I say, "No, what are you talking about? It's mine." So I now have to swear, right, that it's not mine. And what? I'm sorry. I swear that it's mine, and I get to keep it. Once I swear, since we allowed the swear, and it says, lakach ba'alav, what does it mean, lakach ba'alav? What did he take? He didn't take the item back. I kept the item. Lakach ba'alav means he took the shvua, v'lo yishalem, and I don't need to pay, even down the road, no matter what happens. Even if Adim come forward and prove that it's not mine. Okay? It's crazy how the Rav says, and everyone's going to question it. Not really. It's saying that there's a special limud here that since he took a shvua, the shvua paters him. Okay? So now, what does it mean, shvua kone? It doesn't mean what we were talking about before, that moment he becomes the gazlan, and only at the moment of shvua does he become a gazlan, and not at the moment of fira against Rav Sheshet. Shvua kone means that when he takes the shvua, he's kone the item, and he no longer, even if edim come later, he will not need to pay back this item. That's the chidush of Rav. And you could say that's what Ilfa was talking about. Now we're going to get into this. Okay, so kevan shekiblu abalim shvua, shuv em mishalem mamon. Okay, now since they quoted this crazy halacha, they're now going to go deal with it. Gufa, let's go into it. So now we're just going to repeat it. Amarapun amarav, manali biyad chavala omer en lecha biyadi klum vinishba, ubao edim, patur shenemar velakach bala velo yishalem. Kevan shekiblu abalim shvua, shuv em mishalem mamon. Okay, so far that's what we said. Amar Rava. Rava comes now and qualifies Rav's statement because he says, this can't possibly be. Mistavra milte de Rav b'milve de lahotza'a nitna. I understand if you're talking about a loan because money, you gave me money, I used the money, I don't have your money in my hands anymore now. It could be I still owe you money, but I don't have your money, those bills that you gave me are no longer in my hands anymore. But aval b'pikadon, but when it comes to a pikadon, how could you say, right, if your item is in my house that I stole, how could we possibly say that if witnesses come forward and testify that I don't have to return that pikadon? That would be crazy. But yet, Rava says, and notice how he started, mistabra milte de Rav. It would make sense that that's what Rav would say. You follow the distinction? If it's money, so money, okay, well, we don't know, money changes hands, etc. But when it's your item in my house, how can we possibly say that just because I swore I don't have to return it? But despite the fact that that's what seems logical, valohim amarav, but I swear, I know that Rav said, afilu bipikadon. And how do I know that Rav was saying, even in a pikadon case, this would be true? Dechi k'tiv kra, bipikadon k'tiv. Because the whole pasuk, u'shvuat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem, v'lakach ba'alav alei shalem, is all, what's the context there? A pikadon case. If the context is a pikadon case, then obviously he was referring to a pikadon. Okay? So the first thing is, he says, even though this doesn't make any sense, it must be that that's what Rav is holding. Yativ Rav Nachman ka'amar lahashmata. So now Rav Nachman brought this limud of Rav. Eitiv Rav Acha bar menyumi le Rav Nachman. And while he's saying this, Rav Acha comes and questions this. Here's a source. Hecham pikdoni. A guy comes forward and says, where's my pikadon I gave you? Amarle, avad, it got lost. Mashbiachani, I'm going to make you swear that it really got lost. Va'amar, amen. And he said, amen. Basically, he swears. Va'edim mi'idim oto sha'achlo. And then Edim come forward and prove that he ate it. Okay, that let's say it was food, and he ate the food, or he consumed it. Echshu. Mishalem et ha'keren. He has to pay the keren. So what do you see here? After he swore, he still has to pay. Hodeh me'atzmo. If he comes forward on his own, mishalem keren v'chomesh v'asham. Okay? If he comes forward on his own and admits that he lied, then he pays keren chomesh and asham. So what do you see from this braita? That, obviously, right, this is it a braita? Is it a mishnah? I think I forget. But anyway, what do you see from this source? That even though you swear, you don't become patur. Okay? You follow? Okay. So Amar le Rav Nachman, how do I answer this? Hacha b'mayas kinan. Kigon shenishba chutz lebetin. there's a difference between swearing in Beit Din and swearing outside of Beit Din, and we're going to see this distinction further down, certainly in Shvuot, and I think in Sanhedrin it comes up, and all around, that you can swear outside of court, and that's not the same as a Shvuot in the court. So if you swear in the court, then you'll never have to pay again. If you swear outside the court, that, now what's the difference inside the court, outside the court? It's a matter of, did you swear in a Sefer Torah? Did you in the name of God? Could be you swore not in the name of God. You said Shvuah, you know, without God's name. And you can see even, right? Mashbiachani is not exactly, he just said Amen, it's not a Shvuah. So that's a Shvuah chutz lebeitin, and therefore he'd be chayav to pay. Amar Leh, wait a minute. If you're going to say it happened chutz lebeitin, I have a problem, because the end of that source seems to imply that it was done in court. Okay, before I get here, I'm just going to tell you that you're only chayav kefel. Okay, there's something called to'ein ta'anat ganav. Okay, we learned this before. You claim that a ganav stole it from your house, and really, you have it. Okay, and the guy comes back for his pikadon, you claim it was stolen, and really, it's in your house. What does the pasuk say there? You have to pay kefel. Now, you only have to pay kefel if the court convicted you of this. Okay, so therefore we're going to see that you're chayav kefel in the next case, and we're going to say, oh, if you're chayav kefel, it must have been it was in court. If it was in court, then the first part must also have been in court, and you can't say it was a shvuah chutz lebeitin. So amar leh hachi emaseifa hecham piktoni amar lo nignav, that's toin tanakanav mashbiachani v'amar amen, right? I'll make you swear, and he says amen. Va'edim edim oto sheganvo mishalem tashlume kefel. Edim come forward and say, right, you stole, and therefore you have to pay the kefel. Hodem atzmo mashalem karen b'chomesh v'ashem. V'isal kadat ha'chutz lebeitim mi'ika kefel. There's no kefel chiyuv if this didn't happen in the court. So what does he say? Amar leh. So first he says like this. Yachil na l'shnu elcha reisha chutz lebeitim v'seifa bebeitim. I could have answered you very simply, well, they're two totally different cases. Mi'u shinui d'chuka lo mashinina. But, you know, we don't give such outrageous, that's, right, we prefer, if we can, not to say that two cases that are reasonably parallel but differ in one thing differ in more than one thing, right? So I'd rather not say that. So I'll give you a better answer. Idi v'idi bebeitin, they're both bebeitin, v'lo kasha, kam bekafatz, kam b'shelo kafatz. I don't have a lot of time. We're not getting into the difference. Who kafat? There's two opinions about who is kofetz t'nishba, either the to'ein or the nit'an, okay, which side, but the point is, he swore before the Beit Din told him to swear. It wasn't a chiyuv that the Beit Din was mechayev him a shvua, and that's different. So it happens he swore in the court, but he said, he just got up and said, I swear. Okay, where the other guy said, I'm making you swear. Okay, and that would be different than a shvua that the Beit Din is mechayev you, and that's the difference. Amar le Rami bar Chama le Rav Nachman. Michti de Rav lo svir alach. Okay, so now we have a separate thing. Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Nachman, I've understood from somewhere else, okay, word has it, that you don't even hold like Rav. Mishachuni nafshecha adirav, why are you trying so hard to answer up Rav? I've heard that you don't even hold like Rav's position, so why are you making yourself so crazy? Mishachuni nafshecha adirav lamalach, and why are you trying to answer him up? Amar leh, l'perusha l'dirav. I'm trying to just explain what Rav would have explained. Derav hachi mitaritz ledamanitim. That he would explain the Mishnah in this way. V'ha Rav kraka amar. But doesn't Rav, isn't he somech on the psukim? Amre kra l'chol anish. Right. Isn't he, in other words, why, now we're saying, why is this even a question on Rav? Wasn't Rav mistamech on the pasuk? What did the pasuk say? V'lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalem. How else are you going to explain that pasuk? So Rav, and on the one hand, Rav seems like a crazy position. On the other hand, the other saying, Rav relies on psukim, so how can you even question him? So Amre, what can they explain? Kra lechol ha-nishba'in shebetorah, nishba'in v'lo mishlamim hu da'ata, v'lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalem, mi sha'alav l'shalem hu nishba. What does it mean, lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalem? It's not coming to teach us that once he gets the shvua, the guy never needs to pay. It's coming to tell you, who takes the shvua, who swears, and who accepts the shvua? Lakach here means to accept. The ba'alim of the chefetz, who no longer have the chefetz in their hands, accept the shvua, and the other guy doesn't need to pay. In other words, it's coming to teach you that all basic shvua, the halacha I told you before, are that the guy swears and therefore doesn't need to pay. Okay, next question. Mativ Rav Hamnuna. Hishbia alav chamisha pamim bifnei beitin, sorry, hishbia alav chamisha pamim. A guy swears five times that this isn't his item. And five times he swore falsely about this, okay? In other words, he comes forward, he says, I swear this isn't yours. And the guy's like, that's not enough. I still think it's mine. So the guy says, I swear it's not mine. And then the guy says, I still think it's mine. He swears five times, whether, bein bifnei beitin, or bein shelo bifnei beitin, okay, whether he swore in the court, or whether he swore at the court. Again, now we're not going to be able to answer, one is in the court, one is outside the court, because here it's clear, even in the court he swore. Vikafar alav, and then, right, he really was lying. Hayav al kol achat ve'achat. Okay, in other words, he says basically, I lied, okay? Now, he's chayav to pay five times Karen, five times Chomesh, five Korban Asham. Because each claim was independent. Va'amar Rabbi Shimon, matam, why does he have to pay five times? Ho'il v'yachol lachzor u'lehodot. After every time he swore, he could have potentially, again, we get back to this potential, admitted at the end of each one, right? Let's say Edim come at the end. So we have one claim of Edim against his five Shvuot. So you would say it's one claim of Edim versus his five Shvuot. So why would he have to pay five times? So the point is that after each one, he could have, in theory, said, I admit I was lying, pay the amount, and then if he swore again, it would be a whole new claim. So therefore, he has to pay five times. So what do you see here? That he pays even after he swears. And even after Edim come, right? After Edim come, he has Edim come at the end and say, you know, you were lying. He has to pay. V'hacha kafatz lo matzid amart. You can't say it was the he kafatz, like you did the last time, because what does it say? Hishbia alav. It's not hishbio. Hishbia alav means the court forced him to swear. Katane. And chut lebeitin lo matzid amart, because b'fnei beitin katane. So you can't answer all the answers you answered to the last source. So now Rav Hamnuna brings this question, but who motiv la v'hu mefarek la? He answers it himself. Litzdadin katane. He answers that it's litzdadin, meaning it could go like this. And it's more than what it seems. It depends on the situation. Hishbia alav chut lebeitin ubebeitin kafatz. Okay, it means hishbia alav would be, they made him swear outside of court. Or, if he was bebeitin, then it was a case of kafatz. In other words, don't look at this as all as one case. It could be two potential cases, and split them up, and then you could have answers for each one. Mativ Rava. Rava now brings a question. Ba'al ha'bayit sheta'an ta'anat ganav v'pikadon v'nishba v'hodah u'ba'u edim. Ba'al ha'bayit claims to'en ta'anat ganav with a pikadon. Then he swears, right? And then he admits. U'ba'u edim, and then edim come. Im ad shelo ba'u edim hoda. If before the edim come, he admits mishalem karen b'chomesh v'yasham. V'im yishabau edim hoda mishalem tashlume kefel v'asham. Okay, then he has to pay double and the asham. V'hacha chutz lebeitin b'kafatz lo matzid amart. Again, what do we see here? Edim came, he still has to pay. So now what do you see? If he's chutz lebeitin, he can't be chutz lebeitin b'kafatz. Why? Because kefel katane. Remember, kefel's only in court. Ela amarava kol hodeh lo shna toein tanat avad. Now, okay, so now Rava's stuck. At this point, we're stuck. We can't come up with an answer. So now, go back to Rav. What did Rav say? If you're kofar, right? If you take a shvua, once you take the shvua, you can't be mechayev. Now we're going to say it's not in all cases. Rav is going to say like this. Kol hodeh lo shna toein tanat avad lo shna toein tanat ganav. Lo amar Rav. Rav wasn't talking about a case where after you swore, you came forward and admitted. He wasn't talking about those cases. He thinks if you swore and then came forward and admitted, you'd have to pay. Whether you were toin tanat avad or toin tanat ganav. Dehaktiv vihitvada. Because all the psukim there, where they said about you having to pay, it says vihitvada ashamo. In other words, you came forward and you admitted. Obviously, after you swear and then admit, you're obviously going to have to pay. You're not going to be putter there. Tabai shlume karen v'chomesh. But to'en ta'anak ganav, what about this case? If you're to'en ta'anak ganav, and then you didn't come forward and admit, but ba'u edim, Nami lo amar Rav. Rav also couldn't have said in that case. Why? Because that's the pasuk. That's the basic pasuk about when do you pay double when it comes to toein tanat ganav, right? When the edim come forward and prove it. Dehaktiv tashlume kefel. In other words, the psukim all contradict Rav in all these cases. The vidoy, it doesn't matter. In the Hitvadet case, it talks about in Aveda, it talks about Gzela. In other words, it talks about everything. If you were to'in that it was Avad, if you were right, and you come forward in a mid, I'll call Aveda, I'll call Dvar Pesha, etc. When it comes to the double payment, that's going to be, right, if Aiden came after you lied. So there, obviously, you're going to also have to pay. So when did Rav say his case? Ki ka'amar kigon she'to'en ta'anat avad v'nishva v'lo hoda. It's only a case where you're to'en that it was lost, not stolen, because stolen is where it appears in the pasuk that you have to pay kefil if the Aiden come. But it doesn't say it if you're to'en ta'anat avad. So therefore, they assume that Rav is only talking about if you're to'en ta'anat avad, then you come forward and you swear, and you don't admit to having done it, right, having lied, and then bow edim. Okay? So that's where we're going to end today. We'll get far enough, but that's where we're going to end today, where basically we thought that Rav was talking about to'en ta'anat ganav, or avad, and edim come, you don't have to pay. Now we're going to learn that it's only to'en ta'anat avad, and edim came. Otherwise, in all the other cases, if you come forward and admit, and if it was to'en ta'anat ganav and edim came, you're going to have to pay. What they're going to then do is they're going to have to go back and say, well, Rav Hamnuna brought up this case, v'hitvada. So how could you say that, he said the whole thing was there was potential that you, the five cases, remember, there was potential that you could have admitted, right? So he obviously thought that Rav was talking about Hoda. We're going to talk about Rav Hamnuna was his student and he should know what Rav meant. So basically the main thing to remember here is that Rav made his statement broadly, right? We brought it as a statement of Rav, which seemed to include any case where Edim come and admit that and say that once you swear, basically, you're going to be putter, whether you come forward and admit or whether Edim come. Now Rav really limits it and says it's, and for good logic, he says, because all the psukim seem to be talking about, how could you say that if you come forward and admit, you don't have to pay the chomesh and all that? Obviously, you have to pay that payment. That's clear from the psukim. And it's clear that you have to pay kefil in to'en ta'anat ganav, so it can't be that case. So therefore, he limits it to this Aveda case, where you're to'en that it was lost from you, because there was no pasuk about kefil. And then, edim came. And in that case, that's the only case where you would no longer need to pay after you swore. And the question's going to be, does that hold up with, what Rav Hamnuna said, and they're going to prove that it basically does. Okay, and that Rav Hamnuna would agree with Rav in the end. We'll finish that up tomorrow. And then we can get into stuff that's a little bit simpler.